Joel and I just played Pirates and Cubs Immaculate Grid. Got some, missed some. Charlie Borges shaming us for missing Matt Lawton. I'm mad at that one. That's an MVP 05 pull. We didn't get Bill Madlock, no. We didn't get Orlando Merced, no. Tom Gorzolani, Paul Mahalam, a buddy texted me. You know, another one we missed, Joel, that we probably should have gotten, especially since we've both worked probably on the board when this guy pitched in bad, bad games. Dwayne Underwood Jr.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That's right. Was Carl Edwards Jr. ever with the Pirates, too?
I don't think so. No, I don't think so. He wore a single digit, didn't he?
Like six?
Yeah. No. Cubs, Nats, Pods, and then the Blue Jays, Mariners, Angels, and Braves. But Dwayne Underwood is one we should have gotten. This is the Fan Evening Show, and with that, we will transition to college football. And who better to talk about the Pitt Panthers? 2 weeks from Saturday, put up your dukes. Stephen Thompson of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette joins us on the Fan Hotline to talk about the Panthers. Stephen, I'm sure you got to be itching to get back and covering college football, man. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, good to talk to you, too. Thanks for having me on. You know, I was asked the other day about what it's going to be like on September 13th in Morgantown, West Virginia for the Backyard Brawl, and it, you know, made the hair in the back of your neck stand up a little bit, goosebumps rising a little bit. I was imagining being back in a stadium again for the first time, and got a few chills, I have to say.
How much does Rich Rodriguez being back make that 9-13 down there more meaningful? I feel like, personally, I don't think that it would be anywhere close to as meaningful if Neil Brown was still their coach.
Oh, no, 100%. I mean, that's kind of the last thing anyone remembers about Rich Rodriguez at West Virginia, right? Like, you know, he kind of left on a sour note. So, I guess from the Pitt side of things, you can kind of say until he washes away that stain of 13-9, it's going to follow him around all the time. I don't know if he's going to do that in this stint at West Virginia. I'm sure everyone down there is going to try to downplay that as history as much as possible.
Before that game, Pitt plays two, one against Duquesne and then Central Michigan at home before they trek down to Morgantown. But before the season begins, a couple of more weeks of practice. Stephen, what stuck out to you most in the opportunities you've gotten to see the Panthers prepare for the 2025 season?
Yeah, you know, I think the first thing that strikes me is kind of what they have coming back. You know, a lot of teams, I mean, teams all over the country get raided by the portal, and it's not to say that Pitt didn't lose anyone either to the transfer portal, but most of the guys that they lost were guys who were out of eligibility from last season. And so the fact that they were able to retain, you know, Desmond Reed, Kyle Lewis, Eli Holstein, Rasheem Biles, Francis Brew, Jimmy Scott, like, you know, I can keep going on and on down a list of guys that I think are going to be pretty good for them this season. I think you're struck by the continuity. And you know, you asked me going into the season what my expectations were, and I think a lot of it is not based on last year. It's based on what some of these good players who got off to a good start last year can do with another year of maturity and another year of work underneath their belt. I think Pitt's, you know, best teams of the last few years have been really old, and Pitt's getting a little older, so I think it's okay to have the expectations pretty high for this team.
Depth an issue, though, at least in my mind, and you can I obviously agree or disagree, but when it comes to the offense and the defense, there's a lot to be excited about, especially with the linebackers. But I want to start on offense. Eli Holstein's back. That's awesome. Desmond Reed's back. That's awesome. But there are issues in my mind with behind Eli Holstein and behind Desmond Reed, more so at the quarterback spot, unproven with guys like Cole Gonzalez and a true freshman. And then at running back, a bunch of guys got hurt.
Yeah, I think you're spot on about the running backs. They are pretty thin there. At quarterback, sure, unproven, I think, at this level, but Pitt feels really comfortable, and I think for good reason, having Cole Gonzalez back there, a guy who's run the offense before and run it at a really, really high level at Western Carolina. He was a Walter Payton Player of the Year semifinalist two times. If you don't know, that's basically the FCS equivalent of the Heisman, so he's kind of been there and done that and at least run this offense. I think last year when you had Nate Yarnell in there, someone who not only didn't get every first team rep, but was also banged up a few times, limited in terms of his practice what he was able to do. I think the difference between having a guy like Nate in there who had all that kind of deficit and experience versus Cole, who's, you know, run the system for a couple of years, we'll have guys around him who've run it for a couple of years. I feel a little bit better about the quarterback depth going in this year, but running back, I think you're exactly right, is a much bigger concern. It's a different story. You know, Desmond Reed has been, best I can tell, mostly healthy throughout training camp. They've held him back a couple times, most recently from their scrimmage this past weekend. But that was more, I think, to try and get other players active. You know, some of those guys behind Reed in the mix. When you have an All-American season like Desmond Reed did last year, I think you're kind of afforded some, you know, vet days off, I guess I would say. But they need to get some of these, some of this depth up to speed. Guys like Jewell's Goff, who didn't, you know, kind of enter the fold until the middle of the season last year, as a true freshman, had an injury early in training camp that kept him out for a while. But then you've got, you know, a freshman like Jakarian Turner, who I think is going to be a big part of the running back rotation as long as he's healthy. He's been a little bit banged up as well. Running back, it's concerning because you need some of those younger guys, the depth pieces, to be active and learning the offense during training camp. And it's been kind of a revolving door at that spot so far.
That's Stephen Thompson, covers the Pitt Panthers for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. The defense, obviously very exciting. We'll get to that in a moment. But again, I want to get some of this stuff offensively out of the way. The offensive line, a lot to be desired last year, and a couple of more question marks, a couple of transfers expected to start, but they do bring back some pieces that are experienced. How has the offensive line, in the eyes of you, Stephen, been throughout camp, and are they better, do you think, than they were a year ago?
Yeah, I believe this going into camp, and I'll still say I believe it now, that this line has a little bit more talent and a little bit more depth than it did a year ago. I think the problem, at least at this moment, is, you know, getting everyone kind of up to speed, and, you know, making sure that guys are in the right spots that they need to be, the spots that they are most likely to play during the season, whether that's, you know, a potential starting spot or somewhere they have to fill in for an injury. And I think, you know, they've had a couple smaller, minor things pop up to some of their depth over the course of training camp so far, which has kind of made figuring out, okay, what are our contingencies if an injury happens, if we have a bunch of injuries like we did a season ago. That makes that a little bit more difficult. So first you need guys to mesh, but then you also need some time after the first group meshes, to figure out where your depth pieces fit in. And I think that's still kind of a work in progress for Pitt at this point. Still a lot of camp left. You know, I think they should be able to get through Duquesne and Central Michigan pretty easily, but then you're going to hit a West Virginia team that's going to give you a real challenge. Then you're in the meat of ACC play, and you got to be ready for some bigger bodies to be flying at you. And yeah, honestly, you have to count on injuries being a part of the equation this year. I mean, they haven't gone through a season since I've been on the beat, you know, I'd say the past few years, where their offensive line has been completely healthy for the entire year. So it's not just about kind of throwing three transfers in there and hoping that they can plug all your holes for you. You need to make sure that some of these guys who were in-house are up to speed and improving and developing. And if they're not starter capable, then they're at least reserve capable and serviceable for you in the case of an emergency.
Yeah, defensively, it doesn't matter if it's Duquesne or Notre Dame. Teams are not going to have fun trying to prepare for this Pitt defense, and particularly Rasheem Biles and Kyle Lewis.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it was funny asking Kyle earlier this week when he spoke to the media, like, hey, how do you kind of prepare when you know that offenses have you circled, when they're trying to run away from you, when they're not going to throw at you? How do you continue to make plays when teams are kind of zoned in on you like that? And this, of course, applies to Rasheem Biles as well. But he said that, you know, I'm a linebacker. I'm not a corner. It's not like they can just kind of isolate me on one side of the field. You kind of have to run at me if you want to be successful on offense. So there are going to be tons of opportunities for Biles and Lewis to make plays. I think this defensive line is really good too, and I think is going to help them make some more plays in that sense. It's not like they will have to be cleaning everything up. I think that they will be able to kind of make some more plays in the backfield. And given how athletic this entire linebacking core is, I feel like there is going to be a, you know, increased desire to blitz. It's not like Pitt you know, hasn't brought pressure in the past, but the freedom that having guys like Lewis, guys like Biles on the back end, and guys like Braylon Lovelace as well, guys that are so athletic that you can afford to send an extra guy from the secondary in to blitz. You can send one of those outside linebackers into blitz without feeling like you're sacrificing anything in coverage because of how athletic you are. So big season's ahead of them. The expectations are even higher than they were last year, obviously. But I think, you know, this entire linebacking group, especially Biles and Lewis, are ready to step up on the plate and ready for even bigger seasons than last year.
Yeah, Stephen, and we're talking to Stephen Thompson, covers the Pitt Panthers for the Post-Gazette. I read some of your chat from earlier in the week, and one of the people asked you, pretend that just didn't happen coming out of my mouth. I apologize. Holy cow. One of the people in there asked you about them getting votes in the AP top 25, and in the way they shook out, it seemed like that they were somewhere in the 40s with the amount of votes that they got. Did that seem just, or do you think that they should have maybe potentially received more votes in the initial AP top 25 poll for the season?
It was honestly a lot more than I expected them to, a lot more respect than I expected them to get nationally. You know, I knew internally, or I guess I should say locally, the feeling around Pitt football was really all about those six losses that they took to end the year. And that's kind of all anyone can really think about when they bring up this team. Personally, I saw a little bit more talent and I think a lot more reasons for optimism. But I did not think that that would kind of come through nationally. So it ended up being really only one person. I think when I was looking at the ballots today, only one person ranked them, only one voter ranked them 22nd, and that got them those three votes and, you know, kind of into the picture a little bit. But it was something that I didn't expect to kind of have. I didn't really expect them to get any attention, quite honestly. I thought the way that they ended the season was so miserable that people would have written them off and said, we'll check in with you later. But it's not nothing, but also the AP poll isn't the rankings that matter, right? The real rankings that you got to care about will come out sometime in November. I'm not sure exactly when, and that's the college football playoff rankings. That's really all you care about. If you're a college football team, if you're Pitt, if you're anyone, all due respect to the fine people at the Associated Press voting in that poll, but it really doesn't matter all that much.
And you talked about the collapse of last season, and anybody that followed the team, loves the team, has been a fan of the team for a long time, knows that that was about as miserable can get, losing the final six games and your bowl game to a MAC school. If there's one thing about, and I'm not going to, you know, ask you if you think it's going to happen again or how to avoid it, but if there's one thing that you think fans should have confidence in about this team that, you know what, I don't think it's going to happen again, what is that one thing about this 2025 Panthers team that you think would prevent something catastrophic like that happening again?
Well, you know, I won't say that they're, yeah, I can't say that they're not going to lose six straight games to end the season. But I think that they are better equipped to deal with the kind of injuries that they suffered last year. And I don't think anyone wants to kind of hear that. And I'm not trying to make excuses for last year's team, but you know, you go through six different offensive line starting combinations, throughout all of last year. You know, Eli Holstein doesn't finish a game healthy for the last, you know, 4 weeks of the regular season, I believe, and then misses the bowl game. You know, in that bowl game, you had 25 guys out either to, you know, prepare for the draft or through injury or the transfer portal. You know, I think that they have some more depth at offensive line in particular. I think the injury to Branson Taylor at left tackle was what really kind of started to make that season unravel last year. And even if a guy like Jeff Percy or Kendall Stanley goes down, the two guys who pretty battling at left tackle right now. If one of those guys goes down, I think they have a starter capable backup ready, at least at that spot. I think elsewhere they have a little bit more depth on the offensive line as guys develop a little bit and get older. So I would say the offensive line, which is something I've been trying to talk about a lot all offseason, I think the improvements that they made there were exactly what they need. Still some work to do, like I said, to get everyone in the right spots and get everyone up to speed, but at least on paper, I like the personnel that they have. And I think they're better equipped to handle, you know, a disaster like losing their left tackle like they did a year ago.
Stephen Thompson, Pitt beat writer for the Post-Gazette. Stephen, who the hell is that kid that keeps dancing in the meeting room that I see all over social media?
I believe, and don't quote me on this, but I believe, well, I guess I'm on the radio right now, aren't I? But I believe that is a freshman offensive lineman. I could not tell you who, but I am pretty sure that is a walk-on offensive lineman on the team. I'll do some more digging, and next time we talk, I can try to get you a name and a number and see if there's any NIL merchandise that kid is selling, because he deserves it, I think.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I came across another one today. I believe it was Malachi Thomas on TikTok had another video of him looking pretty darn good out there. So we'll keep an eye on that. We'll keep an eye on the Panthers in a couple of weeks. Pitt and Duquesne, 2 weeks from Saturday. All right, Steven, appreciate you catching up, brother. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Jack.
You got it, brother. There he goes. Stephen Thompson, Pitt beat writer for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I just had a horrible brain fart. I was asking him about one of the people that participated in his chat. And as I was asking that question, Joel, it was I questioned myself if I worded that grammatically correct, because it's one of the people and one person, and I mixed them up and just malfunctioned. Which, for somebody that gets employed to talk into a microphone, that's probably not good, but here we are.
So you said...
That's right. One of the people.
One of the people, yeah.
And I thought I said that, and then I thought, is that right? And then I went to correct it with the incorrect thing and just...
How did you phrase it again?
I said one of the...
You're still doing it.
Yeah. Well, no, I was imitating myself.
Oh.
I questioned if one of the people was the right way to word that, and it is. But as I was asking him that question, he's probably like, what the hell's wrong with him? Oh, well. We'll be better the next time out, I promise. 412-928-9370. A lot of good stuff there from Steven on the fan hotline. It's presented by Sullivan Super Service. Pittsburgh's provided plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. Text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. We've got about another hour and change on the Fan Evening Show tonight. No grammatical errors in the next segment. At least we'll try our hardest not to. I have some thoughts about Pitt and Penn State heading into the 2025 college football season. For as much as I love the NFL, and I love the NFL for a lot of different reasons, college football is so freaking cool. And I get excited about college football year in and year out. I will be, Joel, how about this? Unfortunately, I won't be at Pitt Duquesne. I'll be covering Ohio State, Texas.
Goodness gracious.
And I am so fired up for that. I've been in the shoe for Ohio State, Penn State. I was in Beaver Stadium for Ohio State, Penn State. I have not been there for Ohio State, Michigan yet. Might make a trip to Ann Arbor this fall. TBD. But this one's going to be pretty freaking awesome.
I mean, this is the first time ever that one versus two are playing in the season opener.
Yeah. Defending national champs. One versus two in the coaches poll. I don't mean to correct you there, but Ohio State is ranked third in the AP poll. You should know that. If your Nittany Lions are number two, Jolie.
And Texas is number one in the AP poll?
Yeah. So let's see. One, two, three, six teams got votes for number one in the country. Oregon and Georgia each got a vote for number one. Clemson got four votes. Ohio State 11, Penn State 23, and Texas 25. So the top five is Texas, Penn State, Ohio State, Clemson, Georgia, Notre Dame 6, and then Oregon 7. Alabama, LSU, Miami round out the top 10. Pitt got 3 votes, and they're ranked like 43rd, I believe, if you adjust it from that point. But I have some thoughts on the Panthers heading into 2025. I have some thoughts on the Nittany Lions heading into the 2025 and how both head coaches have a lot to prove, but for way different reasons. And Joe, I want your thoughts on Penn State, because I know you're a Penn State guy. We'll get to that in the next segment. And the phone lines are still open for Cam Hayward, the Steelers, anything you want to talk about at 412-928-9370. It's the Fan Evening Show. I'm Jack Hillgrove.